Philippians 3, I mean, verse 13 through 14. And also, now, this is the seventh day, so everybody should get the Proverbs 7. Amen. Remember, we're going to read one chapter of Proverbs every day. Amen. Because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Teaches us how to live right. Amen. So we just thank God. I'm going to encourage you. Get closer to God. Amen. Get closer to God. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How many want to be real clean? I don't want to just be clean on the outside. Lord, but clean me through and through. He said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But my God, what? Take heed thereto according to thy word." So when you get the word of God in you, it starts cleansing you. When the word of God gets in you, stuff you don't want to do, you will do it. Because it's in you. So we need to get God's word on the inside. And then when God's word is on the inside and begins to cleanse you, you can say, "His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God will lead you and he will guide you all the way. Can we all say hallelujah?
Amen.
Amen. We thank God. We're on a message on Wednesday night. Get connected to God. If you get connected to God, you don't have to worry about anything. Now, I like that. You know, you say, God is a God of honor, right? So when he started prophesying to the bones, what I like is the knee bone that connect to the hip bone. So he said everything connected to his bone. So the finger bone then connect to the foot. Because God is a Lord of honor. So if you get connected, hallelujah, you'll be in order. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Now let us stand for our scripture reading, amen, which we come from Exodus, the 14th chapter. I was preparing a word out of this 14th chapter. And as I was preparing, I was in a different area. You know, sometimes preachers think we know. I get it for all the way up until Friday night. I just, because God gave me, I don't usually get messages early. But when he gave me the message and the text early, I say, "Yes, thank you, Jesus." Because I'm morning to try to get the message. And then as I was reading it, yeah, I already know God changed the message. He didn't change the chapter, but he changed the message. And this is something that we're all pretty familiar with. Exodus, the 14th chapter. But I was focusing on stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I was focusing on going forward. But the Lord took me all the way back to verses 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 tells me, I stand in story. But you don't get me, just read it. Right? So as I was reading it, and I read it, I said, "Now, I read it. How did you read this a lot?" Tell the truth, man. Y'all should have read it.
Yeah.
If you didn't read it, sorry. But I read it a lot, but I missed a whole lot too. Right? Because I was just reading it. But then, as I was reading it this time, God said, "Now stop reading and look what I'm seeing." Because I was reading it, but I wasn't paying attention to what he was saying. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, you know, usually, I'm an excited preacher. Shirley Caesar used to talk about shout of John. Shout of John used to say, "Hold my view." So I can shout.
Yeah.
Come on. Anybody else feel like that? God bless you so much. Just hold my knee so I can get my shout in.
Come on.
Today I'm going to hold my own knee. I'm going to hold the shout because I'm going to get the message through. Can we say hallelujah?
Now
the first one reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, that they turn and can between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before which you shall camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness and shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be constant. Let Pharaoh come. Let that devil come. Because if they don't have no power over me, so I'm going to get some honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. He made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But how many know the devil may never happen when you got his message? He always had a but. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. You know, a lot of times, let's talk. A lot of times we thought it was just 600 chariots. But it was, look at somebody and say, it was more than that. It was more than that. Amen. So all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, and it was more than the chariots. Amen. And overtook them and camped him by the seas beside Tehath-Piroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were, and the children of Israel, oh, you don't know what else to do, cry out to the Lord. Can you say it? Cry out? Come on, you gotta cry out to God. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall, now when I don't know what to do, when I don't know who to turn to, when I call on the Lord, I like to wait for the battle to be over so I can shout them. And when I begin to shout, praise the Lord, the Lord, In the first three verses of this chapter, it tells a complete story. The first three verses tell the whole story. Right? Now, if you like me, you've been reading this for a long time, and you know, when you read it, you say, okay, it's going to happen. But there's a way that it had to happen. Amen? But before we go back to this, I just want to read, if you go to Exodus 13 chapter, I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. And then I'm going to go back and read something in this chapter. Then I'll give us our message. Amen? Today, now, for those of you that have read Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I'm sure you've asked us in the seventh chapter today. You read in the fourth chapter, the seventh verse, it says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all I get and get, you know why God's people are destroyed? For a lack of knowledge. Amen. It's not about just coming to church and shouting, oh, he preached, he did this. No, when you leave, you got to take something with you. You can't get all the anointing here, leave church, and the anointing is still there. I took the anointing with me. I'm sure you had a devil. It's not a devil. You don't have anybody ever had a real service? You don't shout, you don't pray, you don't get everything, and walk out the door. Time you walk out the door, you get a phone call, and you mess up the rest of the week. How does it happen? You got to take it with you. You can't leave your blessing, your anointing in church. Because that same anointing that blessed you in church, it can bless you through the mess that the devil is sending your way. So you come in church and the rest of the day, you're all messed up. You can't talk to nobody, can't look at nobody. You just finished shouting in church. You just finished giving your testimony in church and walked out the door and don't have nothing. So you got to take it with you.
God knows how to lead us. God knows how to
going to try to understand. Amen? First one reading, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall be encamped by the sea. And now what the Lord is telling them, and I didn't teach this before, and you all probably did, because somebody probably got a better Bible scholars than me. They were down in Ethan, E-T-A-N. So Moses and the people of Israel have come to is one of those Egyptian military posts in Ethan. So they get there, and God tells Moses, he said, turn again. In other words, God said, I want you to go back where you just came from. Now, it's a whole different story. He said, I want you to go, wait a minute. You may ask those things like, God, I already went through that. I'm already coming back. God told Moses, and then you take the children of Israel and go
back
to where you just came from. Well, you know, how many of us know? It doesn't make too much sense. Why do you want to send me? Why do you want me to go to a trial that I already went through? Why do you want me to go to a difficulty that I already had? Lord, if I think of it in my natural mind, it don't make sense. We're trying to get to the promised land. Lord, why will you send me
back?
Right, so our message today is, God is positioning you for a miracle. Well, how am I back through some stuff? You know, I got some stuff you already went through, haven't gone through for years. God said, I want you to go
back.
Because God is positioning you for a miracle. And guess what? It's not what you think it is.
Right.
It's not what you think it is. God is positioning you for a miracle. But in order for you to get that miracle, you have to obey God. Now what happened if Moses said, alright, you let me go back. Now listen, the reason God didn't let them go to near path, they were going through the wilderness, mountains, and rough terrain. They just had to look and down and all around. And then Moses' mind, he's saying, if we just go a little further, we'll be in Canaan. First of all, God, it doesn't make sense. You could have went right there. You took us all the way through the wilderness to get here. God said, yes, because you know what? I was positioning you for your miracle. Let's use Joseph for a minute here. Alright? Joseph, God gave Joseph a dream and a vision that he was going to bless him one day. And in Joseph's mind, he's like, I don't want to go around. I just want to get there. But then, out of nowhere, his family sold him into slavery. And Joseph said, listen, I haven't done anything wrong to be sold into slavery. And the slave traders sold him to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife, why? Oh, let me lie up in prison. You know why? Because God was positioning him for his miracle. Joseph didn't fully understand it, because if you remember, after he tells the dream about the beggar, and he speaks to the daughter, he said, remember, tell this before Pharaoh. He said, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. He said, hey, I'm in prison, I haven't done anything wrong. He said, remember me when you did before Pharaoh, because but what Joseph didn't realize is God was God positioned me. Lord, just position me. Amen? So now we're going to go back, because this is where it really gets interesting. Those of us that are in our Wednesday night Bible classes, I said, what does God mean? You know, he's sending them back to a land that they've already passed through. So he sends them back to Pihahiroth. Now, Pihahiroth in the Hebrew means the opening of waters. Wars here. I want you to go there and kick that to Nicaragua, because that's the opening of the war. That's what they all mean. So the distance for you to get from where you need to go to where you don't need to be is a short distance. That's the Nicaragua. So it's the opening of the map. But then God tells them, he said, listen, I want you to pitch, and I want you to set your camp between Migdol and Beelzebub. Now, Migdol was one of the Egyptian outpost camp, but the Egyptians were watching the Jews. They watched them pass through the land. Alright? So they watched them over there. Now, Beelzebub really is a big story, but we won't get there yet. So they go past Migdol, which is an Egyptian outpost camp, where the Egyptian army is at. They get to Ephraim, which is also an Egyptian outpost camp, where the Egyptians are at. And God said, now if you go and pass all those Egyptian outpost camp, I want you to go. I want you to go back past all those Egyptian outpost camp that you just went. But why? Because God's in opposition to you. You don't understand it with your natural mind. But in the spirit, you want to say, I'm gonna bless you. Alright, now this is where it really is extremely interesting. Because when you read verse 3, it says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness. It shouldn't be. Right? Because Pharaoh was getting the message to say, they came by here, and they kept going. He said, they came first to Sukkot, and they kept going. He said, then they came past Migdol. But they kept, these are all Egyptian outposts. But the Egyptians could see them leaving. Then they went to Ephraim, and God said, now stop. I want you to go. So Pharaoh said they were leaving, but now they're coming back. That's why the scripture said they were entangled in the wilderness. Because they acted like they did not know where they were going, but God was in charge. God was leading them. God was directing them. So when they leave Ephraim, now this is what really interesting. It's so good to study God's word. How do you know what homing pigeons are? The way Pharaoh controls everything is he had thousands of homing pigeons. And the homing pigeons were in all of his outpost camps. So in all of his outpost camps, every time the Egyptians went by, they said a homing pigeon. And the homing pigeon would fly back, and they said, they just passed. So then they get to the next outpost, and they send a homing pigeon and say, they just passed here. Then when they get to the next position, he sent another homing pigeon, he said, they just passed here. So Pharaoh said, okay, they know. But then all of a sudden, he said, uh-oh, something happened, Pharaoh. They sent another homing pigeon and say, hey, they came back. Then they sent another homing pigeon and they say, came back. So Pharaoh said, hey, they're trapped. Because God was positioning them. Pharaoh didn't understand that God had a plan. And the plan was bigger than Pharaoh. The plan was bigger than anything they could see. Now, go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, let's read verse 2. Now, who was leading the children of Israel? God. But when you don't say God like you understand, your body gets messed up. Right? Because remember, we read a little while ago, they said, Pharaoh, they told Moses, said, why did you leave us alone over here in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to die? They said, why did you do it? Well, who was doing it? God. So you have to be careful when God positioning you. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in self. Don't get caught up in flesh. So Deuteronomy said, and thou shalt remember all the way which Moses had led thee these 40 years. Who now?
The Lord God.
All right, now let's go back to Exodus 14 chapter. So we know that God is leading there. And Pharaoh, like, man, they got a bad leader. How do you try to get away from Egypt? And if Pharaoh's right, he said, they're coming back to Egypt. Because the same way they just went, I got a homing pigeon. And the homing pigeon said, they're coming back. So Pharaoh said, they're not coming the campground that I covered so many years ago, why would God have me go as? Because he's positioning you for your miracle. All right? So it says here, let's go down to verse 10. All right? Well, let's go to verse 9. It says, and the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of if you like me, I always thought it was just the 600 chariots. I'm just telling you the truth, because that's the truth. I just thought it was the 600 chariots. But then, when you read Josephus, this is what Josephus says about that. Now, the 600 chariots, even then, and I'm just trying to get you to see how, when the children of Israel sees Pharaoh coming, and he knows just those chariots. Right? But the chariot job was, you go make the first assault. Then all of us footmen and horsemen behind you, we're coming. Finish them off. All right, so Josephus said this way. When Pharaoh went to fight against Israel, all right, we know he had 600 chariots, and he also had 50,000 horsemen. So he had 50,000 that were on the horse, and he had 200,000 footmen. So when Israel looked around, and they see nothing but an army. But the problem is God messed them up because he sent them to the mouth of the water. So they had no way out. God set them up for a miracle. And they didn't realize. So when they got there and they came, when they saw the Egyptian coming, they had nowhere to go. But God was preparing them for a miracle.
I'm not going to change my position.
No, y'all have to give me double time. All these people are there tomorrow, I'm supposed to give me double time. Yeah, you gotta get in there.
My wife should just give me a
Let's go to Romans 8 chapter. Our minds will mess up our blessings. Our minds will mess up our blessings. Because God will be doing something spiritual. And we have missed it. Because we'll be thinking it's all carnal. Amen? God's about to perform a miracle. God said, Moses, you don't let it do this. Give me this. Go ahead and be quiet. Parents are going to be shut. Be quiet, Moses. He said, get off of there. You got to go forward. Now, this is where a lot of times the church gets messed up. How can I go forward when there's an obstacle before me? And the enemy is closing in behind me. How can I go forward? God said, you just go. And don't have to worry about it. He said, I'll do the rest. Because I'm the miracle provider. Amen? So this is what messes up our miracle. Actually, before we go here, go to 1 Corinthians. I'm all over the Bible. Let's just say 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we're going to go to the 11th verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Our minds would mess up our blessing. God is trying to position you in your fight, God. You'll resist God because your natural mind is trying to figure out the things of God. And they are spiritually discerned. You cannot know them by your natural mind. Can we just say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
So 1 Corinthians 10, 11 says, now all these things happen unto them for, these are examples. Everything in the Bible is an example for what?
Well, that's the Bible.
Everything in the Bible. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him
that thinketh
he
standeth.
Let him that
thinketh.
Let him that thinketh he standeth. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Take heed. Then if you go to 1 Corinthians 8 chapter, the second verse is dealing with this thinking. Right? We're just trying to, I just want to be in position for my miracle. You can't be in position for your miracle when you try to outthink God. So we're going to come back to this 13, but go to 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. Right? So let him that thinketh he stand. Do what? Take heed. Lest he fall. So it said, if any man thinketh that he knoweth, if you think you know him, he knoweth it as he ought to. So you can't figure out God with your natural mind. You gotta walk by faith and not by sight. But how can I trust God? How can I not think? How can I not try to figure it out when I don't know what to do? Now go back to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And it says, there had
no temptation.
There had no temptation taking you but
such as is common to man.
You don't have to try to figure out. And I didn't sit down to him. He starts to come to me, but God, you can just get, you don't have to put nothing else in the scripture. Because God is faithful. But just in case you want to question him, and neither will he let some of you to be tempted above God. God said, I can't zip it. God said, it's not what I cry. I'm faithful. I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear. See, when I deal with the temptation, there's a way to escape that you can't bear. God said, because I'm faithful, I'm positioning you for your miracle. But I can't help you if you don't trust me. Well, what's the competition against trusting God? Now, we're going to conclude here. I promise you, Romans 8, we're going to go to verse 4. Are you all with me?
Amen.
All that stuff you thought, you had conquered, God sent you back. And every time you went back, he'll help me, God. God, I put them in position. Now, when they crossed the Red Sea, just this note, when they crossed the Red Sea was the narrowest one. Right? So when they were at the Red Sea, it was too wide. God sent them back. to the narrowest point to cross the Red Sea. Right? So you may not understand the mind of God, but you have to still trust Him. You still got to trust Him. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. God, I'm just really curious, man. He said, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You discern your life. In and after me. How are you walking? Are you walking after the flesh? Or are you walking after the Spirit? For they that are after the flesh, they thought we had a problem. You know, some people that have never talked spiritual, all talk about this earthly flesh and stuff.
Jesus.
I mean, I don't see some of the people are not here. That's for the internet. They don't never talk about God. They talk about everything else but God.
Jesus.
But then they have the flesh to mind.
The things of the flesh.
The things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be that flesh and mind. How come I'm not getting my blessing? Why can't I overcome this? Why am I need to be in God? Because the carnal mind is death. But the is
life
and peace. How come I have peace? What mind do we have today? Is it a carnal mind or is it a spiritual mind? Because the carnal mind is the carnal mind fights God. The carnal mind battles God. The God is trying to resist you for your miracle, but the carnal mind will take you away from your miracle because the carnal mind says it's shorter this way. Why are you going to see me that way? Because God knows how to position us. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
For it is not subject to the law of God. So then they. God, what's wrong with my life? What mind do you have? Blame it on everybody else. Your mind. Your carnal mind. Cannot please God. And then you see God blessing everybody else and you get mad. I don't want to go to that church. God bless. Hey, get your mind right. There's a scripture in the Bible. You might not know this. It's in the 8th chapter of Romans, down a little bit further. Is it if God
before you?
Can y'all say it for me? If God
before
you. Because God is trying to get your spiritual mind, and you can't give God your carnal mind. The carnal mind is saying, you did that to me, I'm going to do that back to you. You know what I mean? Carnal mind is saying, you messed me up, I'm going to mess you up. The spiritual mind is saying, Father, forgive them. For they know not
what
they're doing. That's the spiritual mind. Jesus was being crucified, and he said, Father,
forgive them.
Mm-hmm. After they mocked him and made fun of him, forgive him. For they know not what they are doing. Stephen was being stoned. But he said, Father,
forgive
that's
them.
The spiritual mind. That carnal mind will bring up everything in the past. But Galatians 5:16. I want to bless. I want God to position me for my miracle. How many want to be in position?
Amen.
Because when you're in position for the miracle, ain't a demon in hell that can stop you. Ain't a person that can stop you. Nobody can resist you. Because God will make a way where there
is no way.
The old song said, God will rule. So you got a battle that's going on. Listen, as long as I don't care You are. I don't care how much tongue speaking and spirit you got, you're still in the flesh.
Right.
So as long as you're in the flesh is going to matter. Because the flesh has had you all your life. Amen. We got to give you up there. So the spirit is trying to lead and guide you, but the flesh is just Verse 17, we're close here, says, well, am I going to get my breakthrough? Are you in the flesh? Are you in the spirit? God's been trying to position you. But every time God positions a fleshly mind, it steps away from where God wants them to go. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For the flesh must be against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are. You have a choice. I have a choice. How do you want to walk? Somebody said, I walk in the middle. You can't walk in the middle because God said, you look more, and I'm going to spill you out of my mouth. You have to make a decision. How do you want to walk in the flesh or in the spirit? I want the both, best of both worlds. James says, friendship with the world is enmity against God. You can't have the world and God. You have to make a decision. And as long as you don't make a decision, your miracle won't come. So that he cannot do the things that he would as we all stand. God's positioning you for your miracle. Yes, you're going backwards. Yes, you're going to stuff you went through wrong thing. But God has a plan. If you walk in obedience to God's word, God will make a way. But the minute you get in the flesh, you'll lose it. You'll miss the miracle that God has right in front of you. Now, I thought I'd lose it this quickly. In Mark, the 4th chapter, starting in the 35th verse, the Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples, he said, we're about to go to the other side. But the scripture said, a great storm came. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. And they went and awoke him and said, Master, care not that we perish. Jesus said, oh, ye little faith. And the scripture said, he turned and he spoke to the wind and to the sea. And then he obeyed him. And the Bible said, remember when a great storm? God had said, a little calm. He said, a great calm. Those disciples said, what manner? What manner of man is this? That even the wind